Great leaders, like superheroes, never seem quite like the rest of us. They seem to have a larger-than-life quality about them, the possibility to transcend human limitations, which always seem so impossible for us to overcome. Often leaders become such figures by virtue of their own character and gifts. Others have greatness thrust upon them as adversity molds them into what they never could have become on their own merits. But no one recognizes in such men and women, real or fictional, the quality of holiness. The most venerable of the Greek and Roman gods all had their tragic flaw. Even the most memorable personages in human history are seen with an eye critical to their faults. Moses is no different. Saved almost miraculously by an Egyptian princess from the bulrushes, he grew up torn between two worlds: the world of his blood, of his nature, which was Hebrew, and the world of his mind, of his nurture, which was Egyptian. The young Moses made a choice between those two worlds when he rose up in anger at an Egyptian maltreating a Hebrew slave and killed him. A fugitive, Moses ended up a prophet. The criminal on the run hides out among the shepherds of Midian, but it is not the will of God for Moses to spend a quiet life among sheep as a clandestine outlaw. The Lord appears to him in the burning bush, and Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Now, Moses was not a perfect man by any stretch of the imagination. He was, after all, a murderer, and was so prone to anger that he broke the tablets of the law when he saw the children of Israel worshiping the golden calf. He even struck the rock twice when God asked him to do it once, and for that reason was punished by God by not being allowed to enter into the promised land. Think about that when you get angry the next time, right? But for all that, Moses realized that even though he was, to use his words, a man of uncircumcised lips, a man not always obedient to the will of God, he still realized that God was God. When he hears the voice from the burning bush, he takes off his shoes and covers his face, the ultimate sign of reverence and fear of the Lord. Pride could have caused Moses to try to justify himself or excuse himself from what the Lord was asking him to do. But Moses's was an attitude of humility. He calmly recognizes that he is a sinner and that God is all holy and is to be obeyed. Now, was Moses always and everywhere humble? No. But the fact that, at least in front of God, he was humble was the key to why the Lord of the patriarchs and prophets could use him to do his work. Sometimes, however, those of us who are not immediately humble, who do not resign ourselves to his will and worship him as he deserves to be worshiped, are brought by the Lord to humility. Jacob was a problem from before he was even born. He and his twin Esau struggled in the womb of their mother Rebekah so much that the Lord came to her and said, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples born of you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger." As Jacob was coming out of the womb, he was grasping on to the heel of Esau, trying to get out before him even then. The two brothers couldn't have been more different. Esau, the hunter and man of the field, spent his days outside while his younger brother stayed at home with Mama. Jacob, always the calculating manipulator, even strong-arms Esau into selling his birthright and deceives his father into giving him the blessing reserved for the eldest. But for all of this, God still had a plan for Jacob. One day when Jacob had sent all his family and possessions ahead on a trip and was alone, Genesis chapter 32, verses 23 and forward tells us, a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. And when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and Jacob's thigh was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Jacob, always fighting against the world, stubborn in his pride, even when he is not an athlete or even an outdoorsman, is so steeped in his pride that he struggles with God himself all night long until finally God teaches him who's boss. And in that woundedness, in the pain of that defeat, Jacob exclaims, I have seen God face to face, yet my life is preserved. For the first time in his life, subterfuge and deception got him nowhere. And he's faced with the reality that God is stronger. And once Jacob humbly accepts defeat, God renames him Israel and repeats to him the promise made to his forefathers that he would be the father of a great nation. Sometimes God has to wrestle us to the ground, struggle with us for a long time, and finally wound us for us to have the humility to accept that he is in control and for us to accept the plan God has for our lives. Such humility has as its consequence diligence. When we realize that God is God and we are not, and we obey his will for our lives, even despite our faults and weaknesses, we cannot rest until we've done all in our human power to do God's will in our lives. Moses did not try to advance his own agenda for the Hebrew people. He didn't go around inciting revolutions so that they could go free. Accepting God's plan for his own life and for the future of his nation, Moses bravely went forth and did what was necessary. But had he not been humble enough to just do what God asked, he would have failed, and the Israelites would have returned to the Egypt of their slavery and bondage. Moses, the lawgiver, obeyed the law of God, letting God be God and letting him be the one in control. Jacob, after he gains the humility to let God be in control, is finally reconciled with Esau. And after building an altar in honor of the Lord God, he is told, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall come from you, and kings shall spring from you. Humility recognizes the sovereignty of God, not only in general over the entire universe, but in the providential design that God has over our lives. And springing from that humility is the diligence to cooperate with that plan, the zeal for the house of the Lord, which consumes us until we can accomplish all that the Lord wants us to accomplish. Many of us are ready, like Moses, to be molded into great leaders or superheroes for God, even despite our cantankerousness. Other of us have to wrestle with God and experience Him out of the pain of our defeats. But no matter whether God reveals Himself to us in the burning bush or on the wrestling floor, humility and diligence are sure ways to become not only larger than life, but holy as God is holy.